right, welcome to the podcast today. It should be a very quick one. My good friend Allison A. from Nature's Nursery. You might see Allison's events with Nature's Nursery. Always trying. She is doggedly, no pun intended. Maybe a little intended because she does have a Comedy for Critters event to talk about here in just a second. You probably see Nature's Nursery in the news, come across your feed in one way, shape, or form, because Allison seemingly has a constant stream of events. That's her job, to raise money to take care of those small and injured critters that are at Nature's Nursery. Apparently, it's baby season, which I can confirm, at least as far as bunnies are concerned. I think there's two times a year. End of winter, early spring, and then maybe sometime late summer, early fall, where I see bunnies everywhere where I live, and they torment my dogs because they're not afraid of the dogs barking at them when they're inside, and they get pretty close to the door and they just sit there like statues. And the dogs want to go at them, they want them to move, they want them off the back of the property, all that stuff. But there's bunnies everywhere, and I think that that's usually a sign of they are getting it. Before we talk to Allison about an event coming up on May 4th, two quick things. You know, I've long been disappointed, and the black culture has many other issues other than me pointing out more white people stealing more of their stuff. But I've always raised an eyebrow wondering why there isn't more in the black community, questioning how much white people take. Like when it comes to culture. So many things that get popularized are through black and hip hop culture and music culture. Some of those are things that become part of our vernacular, our dialogue. This, I think, is one of them. I don't know where this originally began, but it got popular from Taylor Swift saying "drag them" or something to that effect. And I bring this up because this goes back to, of all the things that people get very upset about, rightly so, how do we miss two big ones like this? Drag them is bigger than the one I'm going to throw at you. Because drag them, to me, evokes the idea of, oh, gee, I don't know, runaway slaves and black people being tied to the back of things, dragged in the 19th century during slavery times and during all kinds of hate and racism in the early 20th century, drag them. I hate that. I still see it some places. And that's the good thing. Words, phrases that reach popularity have a shorter lifespan than ever before. So don't worry about adding them to how you speak, because by the time you appropriate it and fit it into your functional vocabulary so it doesn't sound awkward, we'll be on to the next one. So read the dictionary. The one that I wanted to get to is the bag. Get the bag. That is alluding to getting paid. You'll oftentimes see an athlete sign a really big contract, and someone will say, they got the bag. To me, that, and I do think that that comes from hip-hop culture, where, again, many things do. I think, to me, that evokes robbery. Where do you come across bags of money? Like armored cars taking bags of money into places. Bags of money being stolen from places. Other than that, forget about the fact that most of us don't have much cash on us ever anymore. But get the bag. To me, it is an allusion to criminality and robbery and theft. And when awkward white people like myself say stuff like that, I sound really stupid. So I just stay away from those things. I think this will sound much brighter. So we have a cosmic event happening on Monday, the eclipse. And my mom had a saying, in addition to her great couponing and refunding and her giving me my love of dogs, she said, a watched pot never boils, or a watched kettle never boils. If you watch it, it won't boil. Like my eyes and my impatience have power over that. Well, the idiom worked when I was younger. I'm done watching the forecast for Monday. Last I checked earlier today, it looked like rain. I don't know how much, but rain in 60. So I would guess at this point, the forecast for Monday's eclipse is trending in a not so sunny way. There's another cosmic event going on, and her name is Caitlin Clark. Her Iowa Hawkeye team beat Angel Reese's LSU team in a rematch last night. Iowa's on to the Final Four. That it might not matter because they might get buzzsawed by South Carolina, which had Zaya Cook last year. They won the national championship, and I'm fairly certain they still have not lost a game this year. They must have a 30-something, 40-something game winning streak. Caitlin Clark is a megastar. She is one of the greatest, might be one of the three or four greatest college basketball player, female college basketball players ever. And I look forward to any kind of stardom or her achievements in the WNBA. She has been a big story, if not bigger than the men's tournament, because she is a star. We like stars. There are very few stars, and I won't get too sportsy with this. There are very few stars in college basketball for a couple of reasons. The really, really good players go to 1 year of college and then go to the NBA. So you know them as NBA stars, not college stars. Another reason is a lot of the really good players bounce from school to school to school to school because they can transfer so frequently now. And then the other thing is the players that are often really good are upperclassmen, juniors, seniors, if not more than that, with maybe some COVID years. And they have a ceiling of where they'll be as far as talent and success is concerned in the NBA. Because if they were going to be NBA stars, they probably would have left college sooner. So they're great college players, but not necessarily on the NBA radar, or they will not be NBA superstars. So the teams are recognizable. Duke, Kentucky, even though they lost, Kansas, the familiar ones. But stars in men's college basketball are quietly fading away. Women's college basketball has them. They, from as far as I know, don't transfer schools as much. They stay in school longer so that they can build up their stardom, because especially now that they can get paid, they can make some money and continue to craft their career and be college legends like Caitlin Clark is before going on to the NBA. And I know WNBA. I don't know all the mechanics of why they wait longer. Maybe the WA makes them stay in school 2 years. I don't know. The point here is there's likely more stars in women's college basketball than men's college basketball. And this could not be happening at a better time for ESPN, who I think does most of the women's college basketball tournament. ESPN, so in the past, women's sports has been short shrifted. If men's college baseball is on ESPN, women's softball is on ESPN2 late at night. It always got short shrifted to men's sports. But now ESPN and all networks are dying for live sports, live events, because they are on-demand proof. No longer will ESPN likely shy away from shining a spotlight on someone like Caitlin Clark. In fact, if I worked at ESPN, as they try to build their standalone app based on-demand proof content, I would be looking for the next Caitlin Clark, because you only have so many NBA games and you've got to share those sports with other networks. But if you're going to own women's college basketball and you know that teams, not players, are the stars in men's college basketball, and that's not even as big a draw as I guess it once was, if you can make a star out of an incoming freshman at UConn, South Carolina, UT, and you know that this girl is going to be something in the shadow of the next great Caitlin Clark, well, you're going to put her on TV. I mean, again, as always, most things come down to money. So this is a great moment. It is a cosmic moment. It's great timing for ESPN to take advantage of this bright shooting star that is one of the greatest women's college basketball players ever, Caitlin Clark. And it also works out for them. I believe they are the home network for a lot of WNBA games. So if I'm ESPN, again, looking to get eyeballs of on-demand proof content, I am following Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA as I would whether it's a foreign star coming to the NBA like Victor Wembanyama. Wembanyama, a French kid who has already become a star in the NBA, and there were we watched him come along, what it was like leading up to the draft, getting drafted, being a kid in the NBA. Like, that same content can be for Caitlin Clark becoming a WNBA player, and ESPN can put that all on. And one last thing, and I might be speaking out of my ass here, but health and sports science is better than it's ever been. So I can understand why some of the short shrift was given to women's sports, because when you watched it, we'll use basketball as the example, it wasn't above the rim. It didn't play as fast. It wasn't as dynamic as what we were used to watching with men, whether it be professional or amateur. But now that that brilliant sports science is across the spectrum, men and women can train the same way, are what we're accustomed to seeing, if you watch the men's sports, is happening with female college athletes. I mean, you can flip that game, you flip that Iowa LSU game on, and it's like watching something that 2006 women's college basketball might not correlate real well to 2006 men's college basketball, but it does now. It's more on an equal footing, and it's likely never to be above the rim. But that dynamism is now there because of all that sports science being able to level the playing field. So it makes women's sports, women's basketball, Caitlin Clark, more palatable to a wider audience. And what will really get women's sports further into the mainstream is more women supporting women's sports. Many women follow men's sports, but there are still some that probably have the mentality that I just discussed. It's just not as dynamic. It's not as athletic. It's below the rim. It's not as fast. So I'm just going to watch the men play. But some of that element is there with certain players. Angel Reese, Paige Beckers-Bukers for UConn, who's back from a couple of injuries. And obviously, the point of this talk here, Caitlin Clark. So the cosmic star that ESPN has caught is Caitlin Clark. She's a star because she's always raising money for the critters, the injured ones, the abandoned ones at Nature's Nursery. Let's talk to my friend Allison, who is the director of all things at Nature's Nursery. She wants to invite you out to a Comedy for Critters event.
Well, I appreciate you making time for me today because I know you are super busy, like you told me the other day.
I am. It's a crazy month. There's a gigantic cosmic level event taking place on Monday, and none of us might be here on Tuesday. Actually, we might not make it through this afternoon with some of the severe weather that could happen later on tonight.
I know. I've been watching that, and I'm feeling it because I always get feeling a little funky when the weather's crazy, and I'm feeling it, so it's coming. And as far as Monday, like the weather, it's going to look looking cloudy. That's not good.
Yeah, which would benefit me because my eclipse thing is happening at the mall.
You're doing that one. You're over there with Casey.
Everyone is doing an event. It would be the ideal day to like loot and pillage the city.
That's true. Yeah, it's going to be crazy everywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit in my backyard in the comfort of my backyard and watch it right there.
So what kind of nature's nonsense do you want to throw at me?
Well, so I'd really like to talk about our upcoming Comedy for the Critters. I feel like that would be, your audience would be the good market to chat about that.
Well, fire away. What do you got?
So are you recording already?
Yeah.
That always creeps me out when you're recording already. What if I'd have said something inappropriate?
That's why it's recorded, so I can highlight the inappropriateness.
In case I ever run for office, you can replay that and make sure I don't get elected.
Yep. 1,000%.
All right. Well, we've got Comedy for the Critters. This is a new event that we created with Mark Canope, which is a local comedian, as well as Steve Sabo and Corey W. King. The three of them have joined forces. Between the three of them, they've got like 90 years of comedy experience, and they're getting together to put on a show to benefit Nature's Nursery. It's going to be on May 4th at the Maumee Indoor Theater.
Perfect. Do you want to tell me any of the jokes, because I should be speaking to them, not you. I mean, I adore you. But
I know I'm not funny.
No, not at all.
Nothing about me. I'm not a comedian, but they are funny. We had them come out to Nature's Nursery to do a little photo shoot, and they were cracking me up. Corey W. King is deathly afraid of birds. He walked in the door and said, "Nope," and turned around and walked back out. I said, "Do you realize that you what you have agreed to raise money for?" And he said, "That's great. Wildlife's important, but I want nothing to do with those birds." And he wouldn't get anywhere near the birds. But they came out and learned a little bit about wildlife and kind of built up their repertoire of jokes of about the animals that Nature's Nursery takes care of. And it should be a fantastic show. It's going to be 18 and over, so you can expect a little adult comedy without it getting too raunchy. But lots of laughs to help raise some money for the animals.
May 4th at the Mommy Indoor?
May 4th, Mommy Indoor Theater. Doors open at 6, show starts at 7. There's general admission tickets, and then there's also VIP tickets, which will get you a reserve seat, as well as a little meet and greet with the comedians and some animals after the show.
Excellent. These are three local guys, regional guys.
They are local to Toledo, but they do travel all over the country doing shows. So this is the first time that we're putting together a show of this caliber right here in Toledo.
What made you want to do a comedy show other than the alliteration of Comedy for Critters?
I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it?
It does.
But why
it does.
Not? We got to get creative. These times are tough. We want to give people an experience, not just ask them for their money. And this is a great way for them to support three local comedians that are trying to make it in the business, as well as to come out and help the animals.
If you want to take another angle with it, perhaps maybe have the comedians tell jokes to who you take care of, to the animals, and see if any of them laugh.
See if the comedians can make the animals laugh?
Yeah, and we'll do some like kind of some gambling aspect of this, like which comedian can make which animal laugh, if any at all.
I'm not sure any of our animals laugh. I don't know that that's a built-in feature of any native wildlife. I think that's only something that the primates can take part in. But you never know. You never know. I mean, if it's going to happen, let's make it happen on stage.
What kind of animals are you taking care of there now?
It's baby season right now, so we are getting inundated with all of the babies. Baby bunnies, baby squirrels. Next will be baby opossums, baby birds. You know, as you're looking out your window and seeing those animals frolicking, that just means that there's lots of babies that are going to be coming in need of our care. Generally, they come in when they become orphaned, when the moms disappear or don't make it, they pass away. So those animals come in and then we take care of them until they're big enough to be released.
Maybe we should take care of the root problem here. I mean, we can't stop.
Can we do something about the people?
Well, not the people. I mean, the predators, we can't. I mean, wildlife and natural selection will take its course. But these irresponsible animal parents who are clearly learning it from bad Toledo parents who are leaving their children to defend for themselves.
I feel like that's a whole other crusade that I'm not willing to take part in.
Fair enough. That would be a heavy lift.